So what would a Melbourne man end up being like? Like, if two typical Melburnians found a caveman and trained him to be the modern Melbourne man, what would he be like and who would play him?
Mm.
I mean, first off, who's your Australian Sean Astin? Who's using him for I love the smell of girls.
Who is the Australian Sean Astin? Can I just say Auntie Donna?
Yeah, let's just say Auntie Donna.
Right.
Okay.
Broden.
Okay, yes. Why? What are we doing? We could just recast this with Auntie Donna.
Yes, yes.
Broden is obviously the caveman, or is Zach?
Yes. No, yeah, Broden should be the caveman.
I think Broden, and I can say this as a big-chinned fellow, that, you know, some of us just would like better suit the role of a caveman.
Yeah.
Not that his chin is as big as mine. I apologize, Broden, because you're listening.
The problem is both Zach and Robert. What's his name?
Mark.
Broden.
They would both be Paulie Shore types. They don't really have a Sean Astin.
I know. I feel like instinct says to me that Zach, if we had to pick between the two, Zach should probably be Paulie Shore. But then...
Yeah, but I think Mark could
Mark could do it also.
I think Mark, Swiwi Boy Mark could be a Sean Astin
type.
So
maybe Zach could be the Sean... Oh, wait, no, you said the Sean Astin type. Okay, yeah, okay.
What if and we get Michelle Brazier in to be the Sean Astin?
Yes.
And then Zach plays Robin.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Zach could be Robin.
So, okay.
He's so dreamy.
So dreamy.
And so now we've got that out of the way, we can figure out how Auntie Donna can go about recasting as us. And we can go home and everyone will be happier.
I vote being Zach. Me.
Oh.
We'll do that in the Patreon. Start the episode, folks. Exactly. Podcast that's edged because somebody's wheezing all our grindage. I'm Paulie Shore, actually.
Wow, I'm Slump and Pump.
We are joined on the pod this pud by perfect pod putter Nell Heald. Nell, what?
Hello, I'm an impulsinator. Oh, that didn't work.
Oh.
I was
it worked so good.
That's not what I meant. I wanted to say imposter, but impulster, and I said impulsinator.
You portmanteaued that.
That's guys, something... heads up! I think that guy might be an impostinator.
Impostinator.
Wait, you pull mantoed it.
I think you might be the impostinator, mate. Well, now you've just said it. Oh shit!
Oh god!
Shit! And it becomes a cycle that never ends until the entire company has failed. Thank you for joining us now.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with this today. I'm so tired. Okay, no, I'm ready.
Paul's
now.
Tired.
I'm not tired now.
Oh, that okay, good. He had a good 8 hours there. Nell has decided to take us back to the primitive prehistoric times of 1992 to review Les Mayfield's Encino Man.
Les Mayfield.
Recently, two high school students unearthed a prehistoric man in their own backyard. Their story is completely true. Encino Man.
Flamage. Oh, he is so greasy.
A lot of this info comes from Zach Sconfeld's piece for Inverse, The Oral History of Encino Man. Fuck you, Zach, for making me read way more than anyone ever needed to about Encino Man.
Encino Man isn't about reading words, Paul.
This audience doesn't know how to fucking read, Zach. This is Mayfield's first film.
What else did he do?
Well, he made the Miracle on 34th Street remake.
Oh, okay.
Little Mara Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Directed Flubber.
Oh.
Directed Blue Streak.
The Martin Lawrence.
Yes. Oh. American Outlaws with Martin Lawrence. The Man with Martin Lawrence. Codenamed The Cleaner, starring Cedric the Entertainer and Lucy Liu and Martin Lawrence. And that is his entire filmography.
Okay.
Found his niche.
Good stuff. Yeah.
The Duggan to his Sandler, the Anderson to his Murray, and other illustrious partnerships.
Absolutely. Mm. But where'd he come from? Well, let me tell you a little story about Mayfield. Oh. Les Mayfield. Because he and his friend, George, or Jorge perhaps, Jorge Zaloom, they get a call from a school friend of theirs saying that he had gotten a job as a PA for Spielberg. And wow. This friend of theirs gets them a gig. Zimzam! It's Spielberg time! And this friend gets them a gig shooting behind-the-scenes stuff on Poltergeist.
Ah.
Yeah, they borrow their first camera from the equipment room at their college in order to do it. And they do so well that they become Spielberg's go-to behind-the-scenes guys.
Guys.
And after a few years, they are able to found Zaloom Mayfield Productions.
Ooh.
Ooh. And their big hit is that they edit all of Eleanor Coppola's Apocalypse Now production footage into Hearts of Darkness, a filmmaker's Apocalypse.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah. That is a 90s movie, it turns out.
Oh, Apocalypse Now, Heart of Darkness.
Heart of Darkness of an Apocalypse Now story, as it was called, is actually something that was put together very much in retrospect, and I didn't realize this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. God, I'm tired.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, natural precursor to Encinophornia Man.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sounds like you're the one who should be secretly watching The Matrix right now, my friend. Well... One day they were working on Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the behind-the-scenes footage of, and they decided they wanted to interview someone who was like a modern Indiana Jones. And somebody says, hey, my old lecturer is doing a dig in Encino. And somebody quips, some legend, what's he going to find out there? Encino Man? And that's it. That's the movie.
That's the movie.
Wow.
Which begs the question why it's called California Man in places.
Well, we'll come to that.
Oh, boy. But, I was hoping that.
Because Americans don't know where Encino is.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. Well, the opposite. The opposite of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Only Americans know where Encino is.
No, I swear to God, they don't.
It would be like us calling a movie Camden Guy. Yeah. And everyone in England watches it and it's like, oh, yeah, that is a Camden guy. But people overseas are like, what?
Bogner, so what now?
British lad.
Bogner Regis bloke.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. The way he threw that dog in a river, that's a Bognor Regis man, through and through.
Through and through, and I fucking love him for it.
What a hit character. They find out that a former agent of theirs is now an agent at Disney, so they go and pitch some ideas with no success. He's like, oh, is that it? You know, go on. Then Zaloom, Jorge Zaloom, says, how about this? Encino Man, and he sees Mayfield wince in the corner, like, oh God, please don't talk about this. This is the idea we don't talk about outside of our special places. But he pitches the idea, and the agent thinks it's the stupidest thing he's ever heard. But he mentions it to Jeffrey Katzenberg. Ugh. And Katzenberg buys it because, in the agent's words, we were looking for inexpensive movies to make.
Oh, God.
Yay!
Now, Katzenberg, Paul, remind me, where do I know that name from?
So this guy, oh God, we need to get Ellen on as for a guest piece as to who Katzenberg is. But he is part of the illustrious Disney history that I think we covered in Black Cauldron.
That's the one. Okay. Yep. I knew this. Yeah.
I think he's the one who wrote that famous memo about how it's their first obligation to make money, and if they do so effectively, then they will also make art or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay.
That might be Eisner. I don't know.
I know it made me feel bad hearing his name. I just needed some of the details brought back to the fore.
Look, I will ask Ellen to record a 20-second summary of who Jeffrey Katzenberg is, and I'll put it right here.
Oh, don't do that. I can't stand her.
Thanks, Ellen.
Exactly, to both of you.
Okay, Jeffrey Katzenberg is a hateful, hateful man who used to work for the Disney company, but maybe got fired or was let go, we don't know, who fucked off back to DreamWorks to raise a big middle finger to Disney through the making of Shrek and ripping off other Disney ideas. That's right, he brought about the age of the Disney Renaissance, but his fall was mighty and a tale for the ages.
So, Jorge Zaloom writes this with Sean Sheps. And you might know Sean Sheps because she played Sarah Connor's waitress friend in The Terminator. Oh. You're dead, honey. That was Sean Sheps.
So were they looking at her when they had the idea to do the Terminator joke in Encino Man? I've got it.
I guess so, yes. That was that triggering memory. Bizarrely, Sheps did write the third ever episode of My Family.
Oh, well,
I don't know what that is.
A British sitcom.
Oh, okay. All right.
A British sitcom, the third episode of which was written by the waitress from The Terminator.
That's a good piece of trivia.
Tell you what, Paul, this segment's eliciting a lot of Z from me.
So. Woo! Oh. Yeah, well, it's very interesting stuff. Thank you very much to Zach, whatever I said his name was. You can start doing that in footnotes after the third time I've read. It's the Harvard system.
Yeah.
That bloke, you can say.
That's what IBID stands for.
IBID. Yes, and they wrote Encino Man in a week. But...
Oh, wow.
Disney were not sure about Lemayfield as director, so they did a screen test with him as director with Ben Stiller in the caveman role.
What?
Okay.
Which no.
is available to watch on Paulie Shore's YouTube channel. What a concept that is.
A lot of layers there that I like.
I do have conflicting information as to whether Stiller was ever seriously considered or if he was just doing a friend a favor by appearing in the screen test, but it is interesting. It's interesting having someone who's funny but not knockout gorgeous like Brendan Fraser is.
Yeah.
Taking him to high school. No! Who is this old man?
Well, bear in mind, this is 92, so Ben Stiller was only 42.
No, I just can't. I know that he was young, but I just can't imagine him young.
Same. He must. Like he's always gonna he just looks old. Like Sean Astin looks kind of old in a weird way.
He does actually.
Sean Astin looks old in a completely different kind of way. In a just I can't wait to be old way.
I can't wait. It's gonna be so good. I'm gonna wear furry feet, and I'm gonna appear in Goonies remakes. But one person that Disney was sure about was Paulie Shore because they really fucking pushed for him to play the caveman. Shaw himself declined that role because cavemen don't speak, and Paulie Shore, to put it mildly, does.
Yeah, that would have been a wild choice.
Yeah, that would be strange.
Nick Cage only went for a speechless role after decades of tearing it up.
You don't understand how big MTV was, my friend. Everybody knew this guy. Everyone, even Jeffrey Katzenberg himself. Brendan Fraser was asked in 1992 if he thought twice about Encino Man. He said he thought about 8 times about Encino Man. He wanted to be a dramatic actor and was trying to make a dramatic film at the time called School Ties. But Paulie Shore was, quote, very turned on by how convincing he was. And so that was it. Once Shore's on you. It's gonna happen.
Once the Shore's lapping at you.
It's a question of when, not if.
Yeah.
Now, I want to read this quote from Robert Brinkman, the director of photography, because I do feel like it was probably emblematic of how the team was put together. I read the script and I thought it was the silliest thing I'd ever read and really thought it was stupid and didn't think it would work at all. So I told Les Mayfield I really wasn't interested. And he said, no, I really want you. You're my guy. It was nice to be wanted like that. So I said yes.
Every relationship ever.
Oh my God. Okay. Good stuff. Oh.
And that's how I met your mother.
Alone.
Yeah. Oh.
No, sorry. It felt at the time like it might be better than being alone.
Yeah.
They shot it in 30 days.
Ask your mother.
Wait, what, really?
Yeah.
Oh
they
my
shot it in a month.
God. Oh my God.
But it's so... So good, wow. So very, very
Rolling.
Good.
Wow. Okay.
Now, there is a moment, as alluded to earlier, in the movie where the Terminator is on TV, and then later the caveman says, I'll be back. They really had to fight hard to keep that. And thank God, because it's clearly essential to the plot.
Oh, so so worth it. Without that, house of cards.
So essential.
To hear one of the screenwriters say it, apparently Katzenberg just picked up the phone and was like, get me Arnold. And 30 seconds later, he was speaking to Arnold Schwarzenegger. And between the two of them, they just cleared it.
Oh my God. Wow. All right.
Wow.
Then James Cameron was informed 7 years later by Fax.
In Encino what? He says, I'm having a sandwich.
Is this a message for the future? And that's how he made The Abyss.
And then he turns to his sandwich. Is this a message for the future?
There's only one way to find out, and he eats it.
Yeah.
So, it was in a submarine the whole time. Twist. Apparently, they also did the Manos trick at the premiere of having one limo do the rounds, picking up each star separately and then bringing them individually to the premiere, which I love. I love that.
That's very nice.
Mustaches on the driver. Of the film, Paulie Shore later reflected, Everything was fun and young and innocent and silly. It's kind of what the 80s and 90s were, before the whole PC world. Yeah, it's incredibly edgy stuff you couldn't get away with today.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So edgy.
That's what I kept thinking throughout this whole movie. It's like, what? You can't say that word? Juice?
Juice. Grindage.
What's going on?
I think that young man might be a little high. I watched Jennifer Lawrence beat up children naked in a mainstream comedy movie last year. Don't you fucking question this.
Oh. I fantasize daily about John Cleese getting crucified, so don't tell me that, you know, we're not allowed to do this anymore.
And it's broadcast on the BBC.
Yeah, bloody left-leaning bias.
Conversely, my family screenwriter, Sean Sheps, reflected, I didn't get Paulie. I get him now. I think he was probably stoned most of the time anyway. I liked him. He was really nice. He was just a weird dude.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
But the once removed with, you know, the screen between us.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very pro Paulie today, which bodes well for you as well, mate.
Pro Paulie.
Ah.
Yeah.
All the Pauls are okay by you today, and I think that's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Now, Encino Man, or California Man, as it was released in the UK, was received by critics like somebody wheezing the ooze.
Now I get it.
Now, Trevor Johnson, and I'm delighted to say this, writing for Sight and Sound, said, give me a moment with this. In the wake of the Bill and Ted movies and the success of Wayne's World comes a new goofy romp based on the comic appeal of the protagonist's highly individual youth argot. The star attraction is clearly Paulie Shore, graduating from his regular MTV show, Totally Paulie, to play the eccentric but sympathetic Stoney. Shaw's character comes from beyond left field in his goth rock-inspired dress and self-possessed oddness, but it is his fondness for weasel impressions and his truly arcane vocabulary that mark him out from Messieurs Myers and Carvey in the Spherus film. Audiences are used to hearing attractive young women described as babes, but the derivation of Stoney's term buff nugs remains shrouded in mystery, as does his penchant for use of a suffix whereby he says cones, breasts to anyone else, becomes conage, the flame of the cigarette lighter, flamage, and so on. Beautiful.
Beautiful. That was intense.
That's a level of poetry that I wanted to express around Paulie Shore and just haven't. I don't have the brio for. Paul, there's a word missing. I've written down highly something youth argot. What was that word?
Where are we?
Near the beginning, I think.
It was individual youth argot.
That's my next face tattoo.
Yeah.
Your next one, mate. You got the tear. You got thug. Next up.
And I got life, but in a different font.
And the sort of times. No, the very elaborate sort of print face font.
That's it. I wanted everyone to believe it.
In a slightly more negative but concise review, Peter Travers at the Rolling Stone said, God help us all. Whilst the Washington Post called it less funny than your own funeral.
My funeral is going to be hilarious, though.
Yeah.
To be fair, that guy at the Washington Post, legendary. Public, meanwhile, only cared about Nugs, Chillin', and Grindage. We're so close. I'm so sorry about this. I blame Zach, whatever his name was. Elijo Rainbow, Rainbow 75 on Google said, I forgot how fun these two were back in the day. I do wish they didn't get old so fast. So do they.
Oh, that's sad.
So do they, Elijo. Okay, briefly, Threeman.
Okay.
Eric Avari, Google him. Not only do you know exactly who he is because he was in The Mummy, Fez, and also lots of other 90s things, but also because the first Google image of this man is hilarious. Played Raji in this, but also played Caravan Leader in The 13th Warrior and Habib in Postal. So he's a Threeman.
Ah, good. Foreman? No, Threeman, sorry. I thought you meant Threeman. This, including this film.
Oh, no. Hey, we haven't covered The Mummy.
Yeah, I realised my error halfway through, and I am sorry.
Never.
Maybe the very last episode of this podcast, whenever it is, will just be The Mummy, and it will be every guest we've ever had all on at once.
Just screaming at each other. No editing.
We won't be there. Rose McGowan, Rose McGowan was, of course, in Conan the Barbarian.
Of course.
Les, of course, was the love interest in Ready to Rumble. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean, always.
Paulie Shore apparently appeared in Bucky Larson, but you can't make me try to remember that.
I absolutely refuse.
But here's a bit of a Nell connection, though, because Jack Noseworthy from Event Horizon is in this movie. Did you spot him?
No.
Care to have a guess?
He's
Baby Bear in Event Horizon. Come on, Baby Bear.
Is the guy
shat his brains out for his eyes.
Is he one of the cool kids that listen to the music? You mean the
ones dancing in the hallway where Brendan Fraser Yeah, he's one of them. Well done.
Nice.
That's crazy. You know your nose worthy. Never let anyone say that Nell doesn't know her nose worthy.
Yeah, that Nell doesn't know her nose worthy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Oh, free to a man, free in a bush, free. Film's a shit, mate.
Encino Man has 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, not the 56% it claims to have when you Google it. That's the audience score, and I'm very distressed that the two have become interchangeable. 5.8 on IMDb and made $40 million on a $7 million budget.
Okay.
It's a little bittersweet because the prestige drama film School Ties that Fraser was really passionate about flopped, and this movie kind of set the template for the rest of his career, George and the Jungle.
Definitely. I mean, a little bit. I mentioned before we started recording one of my two plot points that I'd written down. The other one was a reference to George of the Jungle. Because I can sort of see how it came about.
You can totally see how it came about. But look, one more little nugget from fucking Zach. After the movie was a big success, Zalum and Mayfield imagined that they were in for a big bonus from Disney.
Ooh.
They get called up to Katzenberg's office where he congratulated the two of them and sort of said, well done, guys, you did a good job. And they were like, great. I've got a little surprise for you guys. And they were like, oh. And then opened the door and fucking Goofy walks in.
What?
And it's like, and Goofy walks in, gives them a handshake with his big foam hand and pats Katzenberg on the head. And it's like, Goofy, I think you've got a little treat for our two friends here. Gets out two envelopes and hands them over, and inside are hundreds of thousands of dollars of Disney money.
Oh no.
What? No. Oh my god.
Oh,
you can spend it in the park.
Thanks.
Oh no.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's worth it just seeing Goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally worth it.
When they get out, one of them's like, can you believe that shit? And the other one's like, I know, it was Goofy.
Woo. Think how many times you can ride Space Mountain with this.
Shaw says that Disney Plus are interested in a sequel. So Nell, you unique weasel with the buff spikes chilling on top of your melon.
Yeah.
What's one thing about Encino Man that made you want to travel in large groups of one?
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Yeah, there
Absolutely.
We go.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. That's all I wanted to say.
Do. Why this? Tell us about your relationship with Encino Man.
Well, I have a strangely long relationship with Encino Man, but haven't seen it since I was probably 10 or 12. I used to watch it a lot as a kid. I loved it. I obviously thought it was hilarious. I loved Brendan. It kickstarted my Brendan Fraser obsession.
Oh, yeah.
That went through all the way through my teens, late teens, and continuing. I saw the DVD at my mum and dad's house recently.
Oh, wow.
And it prompted me to look it up, and I went, oh no, it's got a bad score. Oh, wait, I can tell Paul.
Yeah, because this is, as you said, part of your plot to recommend movies that you've been meaning to show me.
That's right.
But can't do it legitimately.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Love that.
Yeah.
It is tricky. It's a tricky point in a relationship where you can be like, look, this is probably dog shit, but let's
just sit down.
Let's give it a go. Hey?
Let's just do it. I remember loving this, so I'm going to offer my heart out to you on a plate,
mm-hmm.
whilst I'm also experiencing my own harsh judgment of my own standards as a child.
Yes.
Look,
I feel you.
I've recently experienced the same thing watching Bottom Life. Mm-hmm. We've all got to return to childhood and destroy ourselves.
Yeah.
I remember putting on Churchill the Hollywood Years and turning it off again after 5 minutes. Going, no, this isn't a good idea. Let's
this isn't
not.
What I loved as
Do you know
a child.
What? Actually. Oh, I tried to show someone some zero punctuation the other day when they hadn't grown up with it.
Huh?
I don't know what
that is. I remember that being a fucking surefire hit.
Yeah, I had some success with it talking to somebody, an acquaintance, about Subnautica, and I remember there being a funny review about Subnautica in zero punctuation, and that went down well, but I didn't endeavour to then say, and if you like that...
Yeah, to be fair, that Subnautica came out in, like, what, 2015 or so?
Yes.
So maybe that was more recent. I was trying to show a video from 2009, and it's been a long time since 2009.
In internet years. Changed. Yeah. 2009 is more in like the Newgrounds era, isn't it? That's more like when flash animation was the whole thing of the internet.
It was a beautiful time. Nell?
Yes.
I need you to tell me about what happens in Encino Man.
Okay, well, we start out in the past. Yep. We get
1991.
That's right. We start out in 1991. Or
of the Paleolithic era.
That's right.
BC. Whoa. That's a million years.
And we see the beef rays shrouded in furs and, you know, all the things that cavemen wear.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I can't even remember what he's doing. He comes in from the cold. Mm. He starts a fire. His lady friend is there.
Yeah. She's
doing some cooking or something, you know, classic woman.
I made the joke that she's really fucking hot, but then it turns out later in the movie they actually contrive that that's true.
Yeah. Just, don't worry, guys. She's fit as
fuck. Don't
worry,
she is so fit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's prime beef even here in caveman times.
That's
he's
right.
He's done well.
I mean, we can't tell that because obviously they're covered in a lot of fur, a lot of dirt. They're gross.
Fur and dirt, you know, and shit.
So, and then suddenly an earthquake happens, I think. I think that's what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser shouts at the ceiling for a bit, and then he goes, ah, and he reaches out, and they don't take any steps to actually connect hands, but they could, and then...
I saw this in a movie! What? I mean...
And then the roof caves in, and we are back to the actual present of 1992 California.
Everyone's in blackface. Yep. Everyone's pets have really inappropriate names.
Yep.
It's great.
Yeah,
oh, God. So Sean Astin wakes up on the set of Soul Man.
It could be you don't
his
know
business.
Yeah, yeah, because there's been an earthquake in modern day California.
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 But Sean Astin's got to go to school and impress the hot girl. Oh, what?
Do.
Oh, God, you're already on thin ice, mate. Don't say another word.
Also, the hot girl that he has had a relationship with since they were children. They were friends as kids.
Yeah, he's got a picture of them naked together in his pocket at all times.
Yeah, and he's super weird about it later.
Yep, so weird about it.
Don't worry though, because Paulie Shaw's here. Now it's a movie. Oh, it's called Stoney.
Yeah. Stoney Brown.
Stoney Brown. And he shows up and does things. And do you know what?
He sure does.
I'm glad. You can't stop him.
I've decided something, Stoney. I want to look back on my high school career and think that I started slowly, but I finished strong. You know? I mean, high school's almost over and I don't have anything to show for it.
I know, me neither. Dude, you should be stoked, though, buddy, because you got through the last 4 years without the full-on melon tweakage.
It's not enough. I mean, I want my own page in the yearbook.
Jump off the gym, splatter on the street, and go for the cover.
It's not funny.
And I, for one, never thought I'd appreciate feeling anything quite as much as I did last night. And they continue to do things together for a bit. And they turn up at school and ride the bike, like ride his scooter down a pedestrian path. Just absolute monsters.
We know that they are uncool, but at this point, they are not popular at school.
Yeah. This is true.
Yeah. And it is a very typical American high school. No one wears school uniform, or at least typical to someone who is an outsider to America.
Everyone. And everyone drives there.
Yeah. Everybody drives.
Everybody drives, even the children. It's never too early.
Yeah,
to learn to drive a Hummer, and
all the roads are really big and wide because it's like suburban California. Everything's big. It's all big.
But crucially, they are not the cool kids.
No, they're not.
And the girl that smells so pretty to Sean Astin is only dating guy from Wayne's World.
Shush! No!
Neither of those, not those two, but another one. And yeah, he has a problem with people not shushing.
That's how he does.
Shush! Hush, please!
Matt, will you just stop this already?
Shush!
Yeah, and they go to their incredibly relevant school lesson that's being had, for very fortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is this going to turn into a slasher movie?
Mm.
Feels like it.
And at this stage, another bloody earthquake happens.
Mm. Oh.
Awakening the Encino Man. Because also Sean Austin was digging a pool.
Yes.
Which apparently that's is something right. that the director actually attempted to do. In his bedroom.
In his bedroom?
His dad said to him, I don't know what's going on.
Fucking idiot. He's 28 years old.
So, fucking idiot. He said, Dad, I want a pool. And he was like, get out of your bedroom. It's like, if you want a pool so bad, go dig it yourself. And he actually tried. And the dad was like, no, you fucking idiot.
What's wrong with you? But you said, no, what's wrong with you?
I was obviously joking. I'm a child.
Kudos for the intention and the trying.
Yeah. And he's decided to immortalise that in this film.
So he can point at his father
dad,
and go,
kept
see?
Digging.
See, Dad? Yeah.
See, Dad?
I could have had a Brendan Fraser.
So, Sean Astin's digging his pool because, as he says in the movie, the clunge will be flocking to me.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, mate.
You've got to love that clunge.
Yeah. You're one step away from Shelley, mate. Just fucking rein it in.
You'll leave Shelley out of this.
I won't.
Brendan Fraser, yes, awake. Oh, no, they find him first, right? And they pull him out of the
that's
thing
right.
and put
they
him
find,
in the garage.
They find his bowl and then they find him.
Yeah, but he's a popsicle
that's
right now.
Right.
He's a popsicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anything meaningful happen before he gets out?
No.
You do know that Pauly Shore has arrived, Paul. Pauly Shore's been in the movie for 5 minutes already.
He's been in the movie for several minutes now.
Years.
They do bang frantically on their window to their mother, who's on the phone, and it's somewhat humorous.
Oh, yes.
They bang frantically, set up a very different image in my head, and it took the rest of that sentence to contextualize.
Look, they bang frantically at the mother, and it doesn't go down well. But yeah, eventually Brendan Fraser does wake up, and encounters his first high-tech futuristic thing, a dog.
Oh, my God.
Snaps its neck.
Yeah.
Kills it and eats it. He kills it, fucks it, and eats it. And then
sees a helicopter, kills it, fucks it, eats it.
Yeah.
He gets on board with things quite quickly, finds a TV, and, you know, it's fine. Starts, like, bopping along. Yeah. You know, really, TV is just the modern-day equivalent of the hole in the cave.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that all goes well. He goes up to Sean Astin's room and starts a fire.
And, leaving paintings and handprints all over the house?
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Like a bloody caveman. Mm-hmm. What are they like? And they come back. Sean Astin, here's something meaningful for you, mate. So don't worry. Sean Astin has been trying to convince Robin, the girl that he really fucking just wants to touch, that he's found a caveman.
Oh, yes.
So now she could maybe like him and touch it. Mm. And and she goes, ha, that's sweet. Please leave me alone. This has been... It's the 90s, so I haven't been able to articulate why this is inappropriate, but it just feels wrong. You know, that you're here. Yeah. So stop. And he goes, so you're saying it's a maybe. I'm going to go home and find this caveman.
It is.
Then you'll see.
Yeah.
Then your bitches will
and then...
see.
God. We got to teach you how to be normal.
No. Uh-uh. We're going psycho with him, bro.
That's boring, dude.
Normal.
Stoney, come on, man. Hang with me. We gotta just play this thing out, all right? If we tell anyone, if anyone sees him, they'll take him away from us, all right? And then they'll cut him up into little pieces, and they'll take all the credit, and we'll still be geeks.
I'm not a geek. I'm a unique weasel, David.
Nell, what's the scheme they come up with? And also, what do they do with this caveman?
So, he's a bit afraid of them when they come into the room. There's a lot of... Oh,
yeah. Naturally.
There's a lot
One of them's Pauly Shore.
Yeah. There's a lot of trying to communicate, which doesn't really work.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly, the Pauly Shore brings out a lighter. Oh, my God. Flames. And that begins...
They're piercing with fire.
That's right. That begins their odyssey of friendship. And then we go through a lovely montage of them cleaning him up.
Yeah.
The odyssey of friendship.
Yeah.
And at this stage, Pauly Shore's mannerisms that I had first found interesting and amusing and kind of intriguing start to grate on me. So I feel like I just had the streamlined experience of America in the 90s.
Yes. Yes.
And also I think that OJ did it and that Madonna should not be allowed back on Letterman.
Yeah.
Look. No, it's like Andy Dick, I think. It was nobody realized just how bad it would get if they gave him everything. And then
never give them attention.
God, I like the Andy Dick show when I was a teen. But anyway,
they're going to use this terrified caveman to make them themselves popular at school.
That's right.
Yeah. So they need.
They'll do anything.
Yeah, they'll do anything.
Well, Sean Astin will. Pauly Shore's not bothered about being popular.
Yeah, Pauly Shore's just happy to be there, or happy to know that everyone else is there.
That's right.
For him. And Sean Astin, he's been great. He's been really great. I really want to know what she smells like under those clothes.
The film's villain.
Yeah, yeah, actual villain of the film. So they dress him up like a trendy 90s high school kid.
They do. Give him some cons.
Da, 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 da. I'm so sure that's a naughty song.
Now you're the boss of me.
I'm
now
too sexy for my shirt. What's the yeah. word? They
yeah.
play that
oh,
song.
Oh, yeah.
That Right Said Fred came on.
That's what it
and
is.
And you mentioned
right
it and went, oh, is this an 80s song? And I said, I think it was 90s. Let me check. Nope. Contemporary is the very definition of a contemporary
yep.
song.
1991.
Fuck
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were on the pulse. On the pulse.
On the fucking pulse.
On the pulse. Unlike Right Said Fred's frontman, whatever his name was, who was very much not on the pulse. So.
I forgot where we were. Oh yeah, they took him to school. They took him to school.
Yeah, they take. What happens at school?
Oh well, we've got Robin. No, what's her name? Tunney.
Robin Tunney is her real name.
Oh, her name is Robin Tunney.
Not in the film. I forget what her name is in the film.
Okay, and she's playing 90s high school girl that has a token girl who is into being mistreated.
Yeah.
And just gets excited by that kind of thing.
Excuse me. Hey.
Whoa.
Link.
Oh.
This dude totally fundamental.
Did you miss me?
Always. Who is this?
This is my friend Link. He's staying with us for a little while. He's from Estonia.
You're kidding. This guy is staying with you guys?
Uh-huh. That's how women were written. Always.
Yeah. Hey, it's very much implied that it's just this chick.
No. That's what I'm getting at. There's that one
Rose
character
McGowan, who's pretty into it.
That's a character. To be fair, that's a character that would usually be played by Rose McGowan.
Yeah,
and to be fair, also, if Brendan Fraser came onto me like that, I can't 100% say that I wouldn't be on board.
Same.
Not
same.
Until. Yeah. Not until it happens.
Same.
You think he's Estonian?
If he was smelling my hair, I'd be like, well, this is a bit weird, but it is Brendan Fraser.
This is weird, but he is in a position of authority, so.
He's Estonian, you know. Like, what do we know?
Cultured.
What do we know?
Smell me like you do with the girls in Tallinn.
Yeah, smell me.
My next plot point is them being at the ice rink. Does anything happen between now and then? They have to get him good with the family, don't they?
Oh, yeah. So there's a little bit of family dinner time. There's also Magic Mountain. No, what's the theme
Magic
park? What's the theme park? Mountains. Something mountain.
Roller coaster zone.
Something mountain. The theme park. Anyway, they go there and there's a lovely friendship experience between Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser, including them harassing a poor person dressed up in a panda suit.
Yeah.
But yay. Thunder Mountain?
Who's Thunder Mountain? Is that, yeah, something like that?
I don't know.
Anyway, I have
that,
the thought.
That happens.
Yeah. I have the thought, oh, this would be better if Sean Astin wasn't in it at all. I would love this to just be a buddy movie with Pauly Shore and B Phrase.
You've got to have the straight man representing core values in the 90s.
Yeah.
Sean Astin fucking nailed it.
The straight man villain of the film.
yay for that. They do that, and Sean Astin's miffed that he took him to Thunder Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
He's being irresponsible with this caveman that he's trying to use to get laid.
That's right.
Yeah, to get a girl to finally touch
it. I can't remember how they get in, how they get invited to.
Yeah,
plays.
They get invited by Robin Tunney, who.
No, actual Robin or Robin Tunney?
Robin Tunney.
Okay, right.
Yeah, no, Robin Tunney leans over and asks him out to the ice skating rink in class. Talking in class, that's right, as well. That's right. She's a bad girl.
Oh, in Spanish class.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So saucy. Yes, that's right. And then ask Paulie Shore just to be like, drop this guy off.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, can we come too? Like, no.
The cheese is old they and moldy. Anyway.
Kind of enjoyed that. Yeah, so they get to the ice rink.
Yeah.
Sean Astin has a go at coming on to our leading gal.
Yeah.
Robin, don't forget, we've been naked together.
Nice body.
Yeah, I remember when we were together.
Did you show this to anyone?
No, that's your copy. You can show anyone you want.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay.
Other Robin.
What's the name from the blonde lady from every 90s sitcom? What's the name for Modern Family? And somehow
someone Ward.
Megan Ward?
The jock gets
Megan Ward. Yeah.
Megan Ward sounds great. Let's go with that. So the Ward by John Carpenter says, well, she says no, essentially, but then somehow they manage to jointly piss off the jock.
Yeah.
Leading to an ice battle reminiscent of Alexander Nevsky. Oh, that doesn't happen actually, but no. I don't want to delete the Eisenstein reference, so I'll say it anyway.
In any case,
Brendan Fraser gets punched in the face.
He does.
He does, and doesn't retaliate.
And doesn't retaliate.
Nope,
like
he takes
Jesus.
It like a boss.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Takes it like a boss.
Like Jesus.
Sean Astin is pissed.
Yeah.
Paulie Shore says
he wanted this guy
harsh,
to get literally beaten to death.
That's right.
Yeah. Paulie Shore's happy to be there. And he, but everyone... Everyone is so impressed by Brendan Fraser's ability to
bend and Fraser
to bend it like Fraser that that he instantly becomes the most popular lad in the whole school.
Yeah,
that's right. He does. Yeah.
Everyone loves him now. Even the computer club nerd. Oh yep. Boy, it's Kei-Hui Kwan.
Yeah,
there he goes.
Future,
and there he goes out of the movie.
Future dad.
Cool.
That makes me cry.
Yeah, he turns.
I
up
look
later
forward
for a bit.
To them. He turns up later for a bit, and I look forward to them having a misty-eyed reunion about this in 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Aww. Really
bonded. Which will be described by headlines as Encino Man stars reunite.
History, mate, can love be that. Whatever you want it to be.
That's right.
It's whatever the victors say it is, and that's what I love about history.
That's what I love about headlines.
I've got some notes about... I've got basically titles, so I'll alternate between you. Nell, driving lesson.
Okay, so then we have the classic driver's ed class.
Classic.
Robin, actual film Robin, is there, not Robin Tunney. And she's there for the third time. And she obviously is, she's not very good at parallel parking, and it's a bit of a shame.
Classic woman, if only she had a man in her life.
She's going to nail it. I'm sure. So then Brendan Fraser turns up. He's also there because he loves Radmobile. What's that game that they play?
Oh, yeah.
Radmobile.
Radmobile.
Let's go with Radmobile.
Yeah.
And he hops into the driver's seat.
That's what I'm calling
seat.
Grand Theft Auto from now on.
He hops into the driver's
I'm playing
seat.
Playing Radmobile, Mum.
Radmobile. It's all Radmobile.
It's
That's
called
the song. That's
Radmobile the song. On the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
But the youth of today.
That's right. So, Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser.
Thank you.
He gets in the driver's seat and takes off. And it's wild.
Yeah.
Sean Astin and Paulie Shore spot this from their classroom. They run outside. They jump in the windows.
Mm-hmm.
So all four of them are in the car, just burning around suburban California.
Just burning it.
Yeah.
Just having a bit of a burnout paradise out there.
Yep.
And it earns them even more cred. It's unbelievable
right.
their cred they're accumulating now.
Oh, God.
God, those mortgages are going to come flying in. Goods, tell me about the club.
Oh, well, they start outside the club and then they're in the club. Mate, what doesn't happen?
Whoa! So,
Brendan Fraser's bending it
nothing,
on the dance floor.
Nothing doesn't happen.
That's right.
Well, that's true. Brendan's bending it on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
Paulie Shore makes friends with some sort of Hispanic American gangster stereotypes.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. How could you, mate? That was a tent pole for the movie, that scene.
And they were more than stereotypes. They had hearts of gold, and I loved
them. They had hearts of gold. Yes, full stop. And Paulie,
that was the end of that sentence.
Yeah, Paulie Shore, it just liked to let that hang for a bit, let that really sink in. Paulie Shore gets drunk, I think. It doesn't really have any impact on the rest of the scene. Sean Astin turns up and he's like, oh, everyone stop dancing. I'm trying to touch a lady. And And turns out this lady likes dancing.
That's right.
Which is a nightmare for Sean Astin because he doesn't believe in it. He says it just gives the youth wrong ideas about loyalty.
Hope, optimism.
Yeah, hope and optimism. Ideas. And long story short, conga line.
Oh.
Yeah.
Conga line.
Yep.
Yeah. And then cops.
In between Ben and Fraser repeating, yep, the cheese is old and moldy, where is the bathroom in Spanish?
Yep.
Yeah, which turns out to be a profound truth, very much like Chauncey Gardner,
yep,
from the hit Hal Ashby film being there. It's a very contemporary
reference. Very good. I am aware of that. It also happens to be the safe word to the stereotypical gangsters. And everybody just realizes even more so that Bendon Fraser is a king among men. And Sean Astin's in jail, everyone forgets about him, and he loses his arm, I think, in a sort of harrowing montage at the end of the movie.
Might have been channel surfing, who's to say? But what I do know is that somehow all of this is actually fucking working, and tension has been created between Chris Evans and our hit main girl. So there's a bit of a breakup going on. Sean Astin uses his only call in jail in order to call up this girl, in order to ask her out to the prom. And to be fair to Sean Astin for a moment, the girl does do the stone cold move of turning him down and then asking him to ask someone else on her behalf.
Yeah.
Whilst he's in jail.
Yeah.
This is my one phone call. And I'm using it to ask you to go to the prom with me. So just say yes, okay?
No.
Why not?
I want to go with Link.
What?
Look, will you just ask Link if he'll go with me?
That's fucking cold.
That is cold. But it's
what he deserves.
It's totally natural. Les Mayfield and whoever wrote this movie, they totally get it. They totally get how women work.
It happened to them.
Yeah, happened to them. I called that bitch Sandra 3 a.m. from jail.
3 a.m. from jail.
And all she wanted to speak to was my parole officer. Get a room, you guys. So this leads to the fight and the getting back together. Nell, can you elucidate?
Yes. Yeah, so
I think you just did it.
Once they get out of jail, Sean Astin drives Bendon Fraser out to the sticks somewhere in suburban California. Yeah. Gives him a little backpack, gives him a skateboard, and tells him to fuck off.
You're a bad dog.
That's right.
Go.
But fortunately, Paulie Shaw spotted them as they were on their way out, and he's been following them in his scooter, and he
as
pulls
he
up, and he says, "Oi, what's going on?"
Yeah.
No, doesn't really like that.
Oi, can't.
Then Sean Astin and Paulie Shaw have a fight. Huh? Bendon Fraser comes back and splits them up. They apologize. They hug. They bump heads.
Yeah,
It's cute.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Love that. Oh, I love that. But Goodman, prom is coming. What's going to happen?
It's not quite what you think. I guess. Sean Astin finally realizes, having drawn blood from his dear friend Paulie Shaw, that
the lowest point.
It's the lowest common denominator of friendship, and I'm sorry about that time, mate. But I just
beat up Paulie Shaw. It's okay, mate.
I just had to know what
happened.
But Sean Astin has learned a lesson, and he says, "You know, this girl that I've been obsessing over, it's not my property. So I transfer ownership to Brendan Fraser, who can take her to prom instead. You're free to make your own choice,
indeed,
love. Yeah. You know, if that's how you want to live your life." And
so they look great, Sean Astin manages to say to Brendan Fraser whilst he's wearing the craziest shit you've ever seen in a rat tail.
Yep, and a rat tail.
Yep. You're gonna fucking kill it, mate. Yeah, that's
this is what I would have worn.
That's proper AFL in the 20s, in the 2020s here. And I for one was thankful to be reminded of the football teams of, I was gonna say Adelaide, but that wouldn't be fair. Of Australia,
of the world, mate.
Of the fucking world, Maddie, whatever his name is, Matt, the boyfriend, does a good job of looking good, jumping angrily onto Mr. and Mrs. Sean Astin's car wearing a tuxedo. "Where's my woman?" he says, probably. And I transferred ownership to Brendan Fraser, they say.
Well, they don't say that because they are busy by the pool having chill drinks, which is an option I would 100% choose over a prom every fucking day of the week, especially when I was 18.
Yeah, I didn't know that was an option. What?
They were fucking living the life out there.
It looks amazing, and that is pretty much what I did instead of socializing with wider groups of people, just staying at home and drinking with a few people. Any excuse.
Well, that's what heroes do. But yeah, you're right. The Chris Evans shows up, and he comes in, and he finds all of the pictures they took of Brendan Fraser as he was fouring, and they're like, aha, he's a caveman. I got you.
Just wait till everyone hears this.
You're going to be such a loser after I tell everyone that you found a fucking caveman and fought him out.
I don't understand anything about the world. So he does. He goes to prom. Some band that I feel like we're supposed to recognize are playing. You're not the boss of me now. And and he's like, this guy, as I'm going, please don't say a homophobic slur. Please don't say a homophobic slur.
Yeah.
Is a caveman. Oh, okay. Cool. And everybody's so fucking into it. And then he says the homophobic slur.
Yeah.
Yay.
Bill and Ted did it. So, But then, oh, mate, what doesn't happen? Plenty of things don't happen.
Plenty of things.
Hard cut to pool party. And everyone has a good old chat. And does the film end? I don't know.
Nah, not yet.
Now, what happens at the pool party?
Well, the pool party, we have actual film Robin and Sean Astin sitting together. They smooch. I don't know why there's been nothing in the film that would redeem Sean Astin for me, but anyway.
It worked.
Oh, it did all work.
He really drops the line that makes you think she's going to be sick in his mouth when
he
does it.
That's right, yeah. And then they... Paulie Shaw and the Brendan Fraser. Oh, they spot some handprints on the door.
Oh, yeah.
And then they hear a smoke alarm.
Oh.
And then they quickly run upstairs and they find the cave nug in the bath.
An Australian tradie.
No.
On me smoko, mate.
That's right. And Brendan Fraser jumps into the bath and gives her a big old hug, which was quite cute.
It was cute.
And then it's a hard cut to her in 90s outfits and she's smoking.
Speaking of cute.
Yep. She is alive in the future and beach body ready.
She's ready.
It's that easy, everyone.
And then there's another hug and then a freeze frame of Brendan Fraser's smiling face and we are at the end.
I'll be back.
That's the...
And so ends the stupidest thing you ever did.
The saga.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to count down to Nell, as a matter of fact. So let's start with Goodman. What do you think of this fucking thing?
I cringed a lot during this film, Paul.
Very cringy boy.
Cringy Sean Astin. I was pretty subtle about it during the plot retelling, I think, but Sean Astin was a source of extreme discomfort for me. Truly a villain of the piece, without knowing it. But that plus this film definitely had that kooky, oh, here's a bit of music to let you know this is insane. And then, you know, it'd be Brendan Fraser like giving his all, doing a bit of visual comedy that just didn't work for me, that felt very, very dated. Having said that, it's a bad film. It's a very bad film. But having said that, Brendan Fraser was for the most part very enjoyable. And I've got to say, mate, the Paulie Shaw didn't great on me. My goodwill towards the Paulie Shaw, perhaps because this is the only thing I've seen Paulie Shaw in ever, was seemingly infinite, my goodwill. And I have a question before we move on to the more talented, more experienced people in the world of Encino Man. Is this what Paulie Shaw is like all the time? Or is this yes. Is this a character for this movie?
Having seen some of his MTV stuff and okay. Biodome, I can confirm that this is what Pauly Shore is like.
With the with the extending the words as well.
Yes. That is that is very much his thing. I think again, when you get an oral history of something, you hear basically contradictory information from everyone. But
of course.
To hear the screenwriters say it, the My Family screenwriter sort of watched a bunch of his stuff, saw his stand-up, and kind of got the hang of writing his stuff. And then, of course, to hear Rob Schneider say it, what was his fucking name? Pauly Shore. he came up with it all and improvised it all. So it's, you know,
okay.
Whatever the case, it is very Pauly Shore dialogue.
Okay. Because I did wonder if that Halloween episode of The Simpsons was giving an accurate representation of Pauly Shore's oeuvre, or if that was just a Simpsons joke of saying this is what Pauly Shore is like.
Is he in two of them? Because I know he's in the Futurama episode.
Oh, maybe it's Futurama.
Four out. Yeah.
Oh, no, no.
I decided to freeze the weasel. The weasel!
No, is it a Halloween one where I think, is it where all the gadgets start like backfire, like turning on them, and they get on a space shuttle to go into
Tom
space
Arnold.
Surprisingly, and
Tom Arnold's on there. I don't remember Pauly Shore being. Well, maybe he was.
Everybody keep talking, and I'm going to look at this and just make sure that
whilst Gupin's busying himself with that, I'm going to talk about my opinion of this film before we hand over to Nell, just so that she knows the lay of the land. I really enjoyed this film.
Huh.
I enjoyed Encino Man. Now Nell has frozen. Possibly she died. As a result of my opinion.
I have. I'm alive.
Oh, you're there. You're okay now.
Okay,
a good 10 seconds there. It was just a singular expression. I had a good time with Encino Man. I enjoyed the aesthetic of the whole thing. I enjoyed the summery Californian 90s vibes. Yes, Sean Astin is a creep, but that is kind of part of the course for stuff that is written by men of the 90s for whom female agency was an obstacle to good times.
Yeah.
I was relatively able to relegate that to, you know, the sort of shittiness of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I really, for the most part, that doesn't take up, I found, all that much of the movie. We do keep coming back to Astin, but although he's the main character, he's very much the straight man and kind of the framework to hang off two quite extraordinary performances. One from Pauly Shore, and yes, there were points where he irritated me with how affected the mannerisms were. But, like, the first time he showed up, he was kind of mesmerizing.
Yeah.
He's got this kind of beauty to him and this very kind of strange energy about him, and this kind of androgyny slightly and a very self-effacing kind of nature to him that I found quite hypnotic and captivating. And then you've got the sort of way of speaking and these bizarre lines which put me in mind of, like, he looks a bit like that guy who played the virus from Hackers. Plague, rather. So he's got that going for him because that guy's great. And I was on board. And then Brendan Fraser is so fucking beautiful.
I know.
They literally can't do anything to him that is 90s enough to detract from his beauty. His easygoing smile that just comes in an instant, and so do I when he does it. And his breezy kind of expression, and just his eyes you can just swim into. And it's just, and he's so big and tall and strong. Yeah, everything about him is great, and he's really fucking committing to this role.
Yeah,
he's going full caveman, covering himself in paint, climbing all over everything, and just being a showcase of a man.
Yeah.
And as a result, maybe it's just because I've been working really hard this week. I've been doing a lot of stuff around the Korean Film Nights event that I'm trying to program. And, you know, it's all been quite intense, and I'm feeling a little out of my depth. To just have something that this was this kind of consumable and silly.
Yeah.
It really felt like just a lot of scenes were engineered around the idea of just let's you know, two or three of these guys go and just see what they come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Kind of thing. I enjoyed it. I had fun.
That's lovely. I'm so glad that you did, because I was certain that you wouldn't. conversely, I was worried that you were going to be worried that we both loved it and you didn't. to carry on the theme of Nell's movies on OGT,
this might be my favorite Nelpick.
Oh,
whoa.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, there
probably
we can.
Probably not. If
that's
I,
something we can disagree.
If I think about that, yeah, if I think about that long enough, I'll probably disagree that.
So, let's not do that.
Sphere, Event Horizon, Eddie, Point Break.
Death Becomes Her.
Death Becomes Her. Oh, that was
very good. Oh, I enjoy Death Becomes Her was better than this.
Death Becomes Her. Yeah, I legitimately enjoyed. And Event Horizon, I legitimately enjoyed, but I can see, you know, the fault in it.
Yes.
But Pauly Shore was such a weirdly poetic. Is it alioteric? Is that the word?
No.
it just feels like
argot.
Yeah, it's an individual. I want to say argot.
But
something so unpredictable and constantly like beautiful about what he was doing. It was like watching the best of when in a very different way, but Nick Cage achieves it when he's at his most unpredictable. It's just so constantly surprising and
it is.
Made me so happy.
But look, absolutely. But look, now that Carr's on the cable. I enjoyed it. Goodman hated it, and you. How do you feel now, at this stage, about your Encino Man experience?
Well, I am in the middle, I think. I didn't love it, and I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it.
He hated it.
Oh, yeah, I hated it. No, Paul's right.
That's the benchmark we're going with right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
That's the pool poll.
I probably last saw this when I was maybe 10 or 12, I reckon. And so I think I had a very distinct memory of this film and had a lot of nostalgia around it and a lot of what I thought was love. I think ultimately after watching it again, it was duller than I remembered it being, which is unfortunate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, it's a bit tedious. And it's not paced very well. Like it suddenly just rockets to the end and whatever. But I still really love the B phrase. He's so good in it. I really love Pauly Shore. I know that. I gather that it's a sticking point for a lot of people, and they struggle. And I can understand it, but I just find him so endearing.
Yeah,
he's such a sympathetic character.
Yeah,
and he's very happy with himself and who he is. He knows he's a bit of an oddball, but he just embraces it. And it's just, and he's very kind to Link.
Yeah,
like he just loves this guy that's come out of the ground.
Yeah,
and he wants to show him California and what it's like being 18 or however old they're supposed to be. And it's just there's a lot of really enjoyable elements. I just it was unfortunately a bit duller than I remembered it being.
Mm. Yeah, he's so kind. He's kind to Sean Astin as well.
He's
self-effacing. Yeah. Where he's not just like a one-dimensional weirdo.
Yeah. That's right.
It's nice he interacts with the world.
You see, I think that is one defense I think that the movie has, is I think that Sean Astin is definitely portrayed as the one who needs to mature here and grow up. Because with the exception of Chris Evans, the other kids are mostly kind of cool for the most part. Like, they're a bit weird and eccentric and they've got their own stuff going on.
Mm.
But none of them are like, they don't owe Sean Astin anything. And he's just kind of stuck up and, what's the word? Rigid.
Yeah. Mm.
He does need to loosen up, as indeed the girlfriend says to him at one stage.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they really emphasize this by showing just how easy life would be for Brendan Fraser and Pauly Shore if not for him. You know, they show that when they're alone, they get into these kind of wacky adventures and they're for the most part fine, even when they go to jail. Yeah. That's just part of it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, it's a view of teenage life that I could imagine being quite highly fetishized by people in dreary old drizzly England.
coming old England. So Pauly Shore was in Treehouse of Horror 10. He was on the plane with Tom Arnold, Ross Perot, Dan Quayle, and Courtney Love. And he does the birdie and does his little like tongue clicking thing.
Treehouse of Horror 10?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, really?
What are you talking about? They're up to like 32. They've been doing Treehouse of Horror since season 2, and they do it without fail every year.
I apparently missed that memo. I did not know that was a thing.
Treehouse of Horror 10 is season 11, so it's not too far on.
But that
it was only 3 years after it stopped being funny.
I just didn't realize it was it, to me that's long. I didn't realize that was still a thing. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so that was a Pauly Shore I knew. But when we watched this movie right on DVD, as Nell said, and
I struggled to find this.
I'm not surprised. And it goes to explain our experience because the DVD was in a 4:3 aspect ratio, fucking perfect days.
But there was a border around the entire thing. It was like
so the whole thing felt like it was some dream sequence in the Forbidden Room, and it was eventually going to change ratio for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But then the quality of it was grainy like a VHS as well. There was no discernible benefit to it being on DVD. So it was this really strange hypnotic experience watching this movie. I had to crank the volume on the TV to actually be able to hear it.
I had a fucked up experience with this film too, actually, because I had to find it on just the dodgiest fucking Russian website. Is still sending, you know, horse steroids to my house now.
I'm not mad at it.
It's not a bad thing at all. Yeah. But, you know, they said, do you want to stop your subscription? I said, no. I said, nay. And, I had to watch this thing. And because it was on my computer, I wanted to take notes on a computer. I couldn't be fucked to get my laptop out, so I just had it in a window.
Mm. Oh,
but
I thought, can I
full screen it, or at least make it bigger? But I couldn't. It wouldn't let me. You could click the full screen button, but it didn't do anything. So I had to watch it in a tiny window in the corner, and I pressed control and hit the mouse wheel to like manually zoom in.
Oh my gosh.
God.
And I had to crank the volume. So yeah, maybe I was watching like a fucking VHS rip on a busted ass website.
That was a Blu-ray rip, mate.
I mean, even like the DVD that we had, which I remember buying as a young kid somewhere along the way. So it has on the cover, it has Encino Man as the title of the film, but then you put the DVD in and the title comes up as California Man.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't know what they've done. They've just mashed it together from multiple sources and they're like, here you go, that'll do.
The blurb. The blurb on the back's in Belarusian.
Yeah.
Presumably it was cheaper. It was presumably marketed in more territories as California Man than it was Encino Man. Yeah. So probably they avoided localization issues by just printing California Man on all of them.
That's probably a good point. Yeah.
So
although
weird.
That does imply that they exported more copies than they anticipated selling. Apparently.
Yeah.
They're going to fucking love this in France.
Yeah.
God. But yeah, it was such a strange experience.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was.
But I will say, I have finally sort of understood the chronology of Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
We've established my poor memory and lack of, you know, just general understanding of how the world works or operates.
Sure.
I in my head, I had it that George of the Jungle came after The Mummy, which is a big step.
Oh, wow.
In my head, I had Brendan Fraser was in The Mummy, and then he did his silly, goofy roles. Mm. And that was the sort of the downslope, but he had to do a lot of stuff to get to The Mummy.
Well, indeed, yeah.
God, which makes, you know, his return, his refraissance all the more satisfying, I think.
I like that. Refraissance.
Fraser's France.
Brendan France.
Fraser.
Well, let's have our own little rephrase of France right here. Did anyone have anything else to say before we quickfire?
Nah.
I'm tired.
We'll do it.
That's good, yep.
That's what I wanted to say.
Let's do it then.
All right.
Quickfire. Let's do this in alphabetical order. Who goes first? Nell.
Me. I've got a lot of Pauly Shore quotes in here, but I'll just stick to, you know, a few. But the first one that came up was when he first arrives at Sean Astin's house and Sean Astin's digging the pool and asks him to help or whatever. Yeah. And he just goes, nope, I just want a munch, because he's just eating snacks.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, yes.
It's very good.
Do that.
Love that. Yeah. Let's do this in alphabetical order. Who goes second? Nell.
Janelle and then Nell.
Pokemon.
The atonal music in the intro just made me feel like I was watching Valhalla.
Yeah, the intro was fucking interesting because it was very quiet.
Yeah.
The text comes up really big and white like it's the fucking thing.
Yeah.
The dad is in.
Was a really
in
moody
the thing.
Intro.
Yeah, it was.
The dad, Sean Astin's dad in this, is in the thing.
Really?
Oh yeah, you did look that
so
up.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, my first one is Brendan Fraser's scream as the earthquake is happening. I just that was the because he comes in, he's wearing his hair. I'm watching a shitty Russian version, and you can't necessarily tell that that's Brendan Fraser. But then when he screams, and you can see his mouth, like, that's Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
No,
me. I'm gonna do another Pauly Shore quote because I can. We're losers.
High school is over, buddy. Get into it. We're losers.
Yeah.
When he explains to Sean Astin that they're losers, we're losers.
That was my next quick fire. Well, for my next quick fire, I'll go for another Pauly Shore. I do just have it's a list of it's solid Shore at this stage. She finds you crusty, Dave.
Yes, that was my next one in my list.
Robin Sweeney is mine. She's become a major babe and she loves me.
She finds you crusty, Dave.
I'll convince her.
Yeah, that is good. I think I've got that too. Yeah, I have. That was going to be the one after my next one. She finds you crusty, Dave.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It's very good.
It's just said so matter-of-factly.
Yeah, it just felt so human from the Pauly Shore.
Mm-hmm. I like the song that plays near the beginning, the main lyric of which is "Reality used to be a friend of mine."
Reality used to be a friend of mine. Reality used to be a friend of mine. Maybe why it's a question that's on your mind, but reality used to be a friend of mine.
Very good place set placing. I don't know what to say.
Mm.
Yeah.
Table setting.
It was very good dinner plating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I even went for table setting and couldn't arrive there, so I said plate setting. I don't know what the fuck's happening. I like that song. Next.
Bye.
Bye.
Now.
Bye, losers.
Oh, me. I really enjoyed the Bendon phrase, yelling at the helicopter as it went past.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Just Brendan Fraser yelling.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yep.
It's a happy thing for us all.
Yeah. Sustainable returns. I can't remember the setup, but the Pauly Shore line, kind of like a harsh ride. And his arms are out doing a thing. It's just another little surprising.
Yeah.
It's just a little thing to tickle you a little bit.
A little thing with the blur and the sound.
Oh, God. Well, I've got things written down that I don't know the context of. I've got glaciers. That's right. Oh, no, that's it. Yes, it's the teacher.
Yeah.
The teacher is just, like, trying to get his class to interact. And it's kind of fun because, again, they're not just ripping the shit out of him. They're just a bit bored and he's a bit bored and he's having relatively nice interactions. Mm. And he gets one kid who he asks him a question and the kid answers glaciers. Mm. He's like, that's right. And then he goes to say it again and he points at him again.
Yeah.
And the kid says glaciers again and he just says, that's right.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that teacher's energy.
Huge slabs of ice we called what? What do we call them?
Glaciers.
Glaciers. Right. You are paying attention. That's good. Now, these glaciers, as they move down our way, you got to understand, they're so heavy and so cold and so thick that they freeze the groundwater underneath them and they form underground
glaciers,
right. Now.
Yeah, same.
Good
I had
energy.
That.
Good
I
energy.
Had that down as a quick fire. Just, yeah, good, good, good callback. And
just because it happens in the same scene, I also enjoyed Aston staring at the girl and the boyfriend just leans
in.
Yeah.
I've got that on my list as well.
That was excellent. and it's very much a face, eyes wide, kind of naff.
Yeah,
not a threatening voice.
Yeah,
her face just sort of. No,
another B phrase one for me. And also a bit of Australian representation here. I liked the fact that when he's watching the television, he flicks through the channels or whatever's happening.
Oh, yeah.
He dances to Treaty, which is quite a famous song in this country. It's by it's a protest song by Yoffa Yindi, which is an indigenous musical group. And I enjoyed that was in the film.
Nice.
Whether the directors knew it was a protest song, I don't know. They probably just went with it because they were wearing body paint, but never mind.
Yep. Well, I enjoyed that, and I also enjoyed his dance.
Yes, it was a good dance.
It was very good.
I liked the way Brendan Fraser just occasionally broke in when it called for it. Sometimes when it didn't. When he broke into that, he broke into this sort of weird, angular but very energetic dance. Yeah, but it felt like he knows how to dance because he can move in time to the music, unlike Sean Astin, who had more of a Tai Chi approach to it. You flow into the next movement.
Yeah.
Much like I would, I fear. But yeah, I did like that. But anyway,
we all fear the Sean Astin and all of us.
And I just try and live it. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I got that beast in me.
Don't wait, the beast, babe. the Sean Astin, the Paulie Shaw line.
Nice save, David.
Great. You really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
And Paul even turned to me and went, did he say David?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
That was a very silly thing to happen, and it was great.
I enjoy the parents arriving home and Sean Astin saying, my parents. The cut to Paulie Shaw, your parents. And they cut to Brendan Fraser. Ah!
Your parents! My parents!
Ah! Yes. To keep on the train of the I enjoyed when they're trying to teach him his name and their names, and going Dave Link, and then it goes back to eventually Sean Astin goes to Brendan Fraser and it's like, you know, you can do it. What's your name? And he goes Dave. Ah.
Yeah.
And he has the most like amazingly innocent and beautiful smile on his face, like he's just succeeded. Like, I did good. Yeah. I said Dave.
Yes, you did.
Very good.
Love that.
When Sean Astin is trying to convince Paulie Shaw to go along with his excellent caveman for sex plan, he's saying, you know, lots of money, a mansion, watching all the Jeopardy you can handle, and Paulie Shaw's face turns into a smile and he goes, yeah, that was the clincher. And it's but it's said in passing as the conversation moves on, and it was just a wonderful little throwaway line. So natural. That's the youth of today, mate.
Yeah.
A moment I absolutely loved was, I really like how they're walking down the corridor and there are two guys there, one of whom is noseworthy.
Yep.
And they're dancing away and Brendan Fraser just starts dancing with them and they are so psyched that this guy's fucking dancing with them.
Yeah.
They're so positive about it. And it's not like, who is this fucking dude? They're just like, yeah, this guy's fucking doing it. And he's not doing it very well, but they're just so positive about it. I adored that. I really like anything that portrays high school as being a potentially positive place, because I feel like generally screenwriters are the kinds of losers who got picked on, like me. And so they portray high school being very much the way I perceive it. But it's nice when sometimes it's just like, hey, it's just kids.
Yeah.
Some kids are just chill about things.
Yeah.
No. Some kids are just chill and they're getting ready to live fucking cool lives as chill adults.
Yeah.
I remember the occasional jock who was very, very, who also would listen to metal. And you'd connect with them on a band. And there was that, like, hey, you're okay.
You're okay.
Weird guy with long hair.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is, in spite of what every teen movie assured me, from my memory, there was the popular kids who were the gym kids, you know, the sort of good at sports and good at athletics and stuff like this, male and female. And they were really nice because that's why they were popular.
Yeah.
And then there was the subclass of bullies and stuff, and they were just assholes, and they had their own clique. And they weren't particularly good at sports. They were just dicks.
Yeah, okay.
There's a social aspect to sports. So, yeah, that was my experience.
Bit of overlap for me. But anyway, the dynamics of the world of Encino Man. No.
Oh, it's me. I was very captivated by Paulie Shaw's pink outfit. So he's got the bell bottoms with like the jeans and the white stripe down the middle.
Yeah.
And then he's just got this pink, like big fishnetty kind of top on and like a pink bandana.
Yeah.
It's just, I couldn't stop looking at it. I was just like, yes, Paulie Shaw, you rock that.
Yeah, I loved his pink necktie.
Yeah.
It was delightful. Yeah. Gorgeous. I'm gonna
love that.
So very 90s.
Yeah. I'm gonna get us all back on the phrase train. The shot when he first peeks out of the garage. It looks like he's peering over something, but as he stands, the camera writes with him to you know, reveal that he was actually peeking out the side of the garage, and now he's standing up. And that was a fun shot. It was like Sonny Chiba in the Street Fighter.
Ooh! Love that. Okay, I really enjoyed the there's a chaotic energy that I quite like to the scene of where they're basically ransacking this corner shop. But it ends with Pauly Shore doing the callback to the apparently pivotal scene of him saying, you know, I'll be back. After which one of the guys running the store just has one last cry of, no, buts, chill. And it was just that last cry of it that just, yeah, tickled me.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Love that.
I'm also going to I'm also going to reference the corner shop, the what was it called? I feel like I wrote down the name and then I forgot.
Yeah,
my mind went to the Circle K, but that's Bill and Ted.
Oh yeah.
I've forgotten what it is. And just to throw in a West Wing reference here, Eric Avari, he played Pakistani ambassador Habib in the West Wing, and he played
yes, he did.
Raji in the Cinnamon.
West Wing walk-ons.
West Wing walk-ons.
Yes, I meant to point that out and I forgot. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I did have to confess. Sarah got me to say that. I did not know anything about anything. And the other day we had a chat with her and Paul went to the toilet and she went, okay, now while Paul's gone, you have to do this for me. And I said, okay.
That's what that was. You sneaky
Janelle.
Sneaky two.
Yeah.
Sneaky twosies.
So you can thank Sarah Keep for that.
Oh, thanks, Sarah.
I always, always will.
I always thank Sarah, but now I've got a reason. B-Frey's playing Pat a Cake with a dog. Just interacting with that dog generally, that dog seems so happy to be chilling with a B-Frey's.
So happy.
Whether he was eating out of the same food bowl, he was just like, yeah, that's cool, more the merrier, guy.
The dog knows he's a good egg. He can tell. Dogs can tell that thing.
They can smell the good egg on him.
Dogs can always tell.
Yeah.
That's why they fucking hate me.
No.
I really liked we missed out the whole museum scene, but there was a museum scene.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Where suddenly Brendan Fraser has a bit of a freak out and isn't very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to reassure him, and I thought it was really sweet. And
actually,
I'll tie in the other moment of bonding between them, the other actually genuinely sweet moment, which is the apology scene.
Yeah.
Where they all apologize, and then, you know, Pauly Shore makes a tiny joke, and Brendan Fraser just erupts in that gorgeous smile. And,
yeah.
It was just really sweet. Really sweet sort of male friendship moment there. I liked.
I do wonder, we saw this film on Friday night after a really stressful week. And usually we've been watching your movies on a Saturday.
Yes.
And feeling nice and relaxed. And I wonder if we'd have watched this on a Saturday afternoon instead of sort of 5:30, 6 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately after finishing work. If I'd have felt more charitable towards Sean Astin.
Maybe.
It's
a real shame
dated ways.
That you do have that job as Sean Astin's PA. I think it is.
It's true.
Well,
yeah.
I'm just not qualified for it at all. Can't stand him.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we better probably empty our quick voters on this next round. So now
give
all of your remaining ones.
Okay.
All of them.
I also really liked the male friendship bonding thing. Mm-hmm. There was none of this sort of, you can't do that. It's not macho. Yeah. I enjoyed that it was just really lovely and supportive and nice. So I liked Pauly Shore. When they get to Blades, they're getting out of the car. And as he's getting out of the car after Sean Astin, he's going, I've got the raddest deodorant on. Which I thought was really funny.
Trying to get him to smell his
to get him to smell him. I really liked the car stunt. I thought that was very good.
Good car
that
stunt.
Guy driving down the road with, like,
keeping
it up on two wheels.
Oh, Jesus, that was amazing.
It was a good car stunt. I liked Chris Evans getting caught in the hammock. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
That was very good.
It's very good.
That was actually really good.
Yeah, it was.
Great business from him.
It was very good.
Because he frees himself.
Yeah.
And then it hits him again and he just goes straight down
it's
to the floor.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And that was one of the
very
things
good.
That stuck in my memory from when I was a kid, so I was waiting for that to happen. And it was as good as I remember, which I was very pleased about.
Nice.
And that actually might be all of them. Oh, and just, you know, Brendan Fraser at the end, which I mentioned in our recap, when he hugs the cave nug in the bath. I thought that was so cute because he was so excited to see her. And then the freeze frame at the end with his smile. I was like, look at that face.
Yeah.
And that's me done.
Cool.
Good.
All right. B-Frey's face whilst being groomed has just a few seconds of placid contentment, which is really funny. He's trying to get Pauly Shore's trying to get him to say buff, and he goes buff, and he's like, hey, you even paused. I've got Stony dot dot dot, and then Fraser leans in to poke his finger into Sean Astin's mouth. introducing Link to the girls, he responds by bringing up the lighter and flicking it a few times while staring at it. when Pauly Shore in that scene says, "I think he's trying to say he likes your cones," and then flinches before Robin Tunney can hit him.
Yeah, he's already
in anticipation. Yeah, it's really good. The use of cruising and keep cruising in that Quickie Mart scene.
Oh yes, yeah. I forgot about keep that. Keep on cruising. Keep on cruising.
Cruising. The both shots of them wheezing the juice were great. It was just their face under the tap, and then a fucking blast of splodge in their faces. It sort of delivered in a hard cut. It was very satisfying. Pauly Shore's roller coaster face.
Yes, very
the
good.
Fucking line at dinner. You know, the way I look at it, one day me and your daughter could be married, and we could be related.
Yeah,
that's very good. Yeah. And he says something like, "I'm counting the days," which is a naff dad line, but quite sweet as well.
Yeah. But also a sort of shush.
Quiet now.
Beef Ray's chomping an eggshell made me feel sick. Made me feel pretty weird.
Dangerous to do, apparently.
Oh,
I can imagine. Just swimming.
Don't
with
eat eggshells, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Mm? Yeah. Don't. That's what I hear. Don't do it. The "ow, my pancreas" callback was great.
Yeah.
My pancreas. And then, so Brendan Fraser's grimace and / furtive look before he slams that bowl of chili sauce, or before he just slams the bowl of chili in the bar, is very Simon Pegg.
Oh, yeah.
Very enjoyable. And then Matt, the bully, his shush at the at the end was very, very fun.
Yeah, love that.
That was a lot.
Yeah. Well, look, a lot of mine were said by Nell, my remaining ones, but I think the only one I have left is that I actually quite like the Spanish-speaking guys in the bar. They cut because their setup is being very intimidating and frightening and sort of cliched.
Yeah.
And then they turn out to be much more, like, a lot of the time there's the implication that maybe that act that they were doing of sort of "anyone touches my woman, he's dead," was actually just like a joke or like fucking with people. Because they drop it quite quickly and sort of, and then end up giving them a ride home. And they give the girlfriend a ride home, and she's just like, "Okay, get home safe." And it's just like, it's nice.
Nice.
I really like them. So
cool.
Yeah, that's gonna do it for me. So I think it's about time.
Ooh,
that I check in with the OG team who I remembered to ask.
It's always nice to remember
who did not die. Just a moment. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've got... Oh, no, that's just Orbital Blues. Shit. Stop tagging me into this, whoever's running this account.
I don't know, mate. Sounds like a monster.
It sounds like it. No, okay, nothing on X, X, X. Let's try Facebook.
Nothing from Vin Diesel's Triple X.
Ooh. Now, Facebook has changed its lineup, and now I don't know what's going on. Oh! No, Jenny Sons talking about the beach.
Jenny.
Simpler times. All right, let's try Patreon. Oh, I've got an app now. I downloaded the Patreon app. Ooh. I don't like it. It doesn't let me upload audio.
Oh,
no.
Which is kind of all I do. So, don't like it. No, I think maybe I was just a little too late to get people's opinions on Encino Man. But if more come in, we will let you know. Right, let's get on to... One Better Thing.
The One Better Thing.
We're going to go in reverse alphabetical order, which means I'm going to start.
Hey!
What? Bastards.
All right.
Uh-oh.
I don't feel good about it.
I'm ready.
I'm going to go with like a black comedy movie from the 90s, and it is Greg Araki's Nowhere. Greg Araki is an extremely unusual filmmaker. I think his most famous film is either Doom Generation or Mysterious Skin.
Okay.
The Jogolev.
Yeah.
But Nowhere is a very curious. It's the middle part of his teenage apocalypse trilogy, after Totally Fucked Up and before the Doom Generation.
Okay.
And it's the big names in it are Ryan Phillippe and Mina Savari, but they're not the sort of leads. Denise Richards is in there too. It's just a bizarre little odyssey through a surreal LA that is, I don't know, just very exciting, very openly sexual. There's bizarre line deliveries. There's. It feels like the kind of movie that would have freaked me out a little bit as a kid, because I'd be like, oh, this is what I think I should be living like. But now as a grown-up, it's like, wow, that looks crazy. And it's like every teenager's dream of how fucked up life should be, but in a very darkly comedic way. So there is also murder and all sorts of other dark things going on. It's just this surreal odyssey that I really like. Christina Applegate's in there too.
Alrighty, cool.
So that's Nowhere, 1997. Also, you want fish out of water, man across time sort of thing? Demolition Man's quite fun.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. You got Sly, you got Wesley Snipes being one of his biggest performances that he's ever done. And yeah, I think there's a lot to recommend it. It's quite funny as well.
Oh, it is, yeah. And he doesn't even know how to use the seashells.
And that is the seashells. Rob Schneider is tolerable. That's how funny.
Oh, wow.
I know. Right. I know.
I know. And Sandra Bullock's really good in it too. Yeah. So, yeah. There's a lot going
on. Cool. Let's lick some ass.
Yeah. Good.
I also went fish out water.
Fish out water.
With Barbie.
Ah.
You know, you got your Barbie. Did you go for the fish out of water?
No,
thing? Okay,
went,
cool. Because Elf is the other one I would mention. You know, just man being silly and cute and winning over even James Caan in the end. But fish out of water, I will go for Barbie. I thought it was going to be much higher on my list for 2023, which is just a testament to what a fucking year of film that was.
What a year of film.
But here it is, in this year, past the year of film, Greta Gerwig had this directive to make a good Mattel movie that made a lot of money, but also made it smart and wry and emotionally honest, painfully honest, a lot of the time. And it's refreshing and lovely and funny and probably age a bit better than Encino Man.
Yeah.
Maybe. Although I would argue that Paulie Shore is timeless, having only seen him in this one thing.
Timeless. Let's meet back here in 30 years and see how well Barbie has held up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right.
Huh. I wonder what point in my life I'll realize is the probably last thing I'll be able to enjoy the 30th anniversary of realistically.
Don't think about that.
Don't think about that. Nell, how about yours?
I have gone for a caveman theme and gone for 2018's Early Man.
That's a very good one.
So it's.
Oh, lovely.
This is. The film follows Doug and their tribe as they face a threat from an evil lord man whose name I've forgotten. Who wants to turn their
played
land.
Played by...
What's... Yeah, who is... I've forgotten who it is.
Is it David Tennant?
Yeah.
Go on, I'll find out.
So this bad lord man wants to turn their land into a giant mine and make them slaves. Mm-hmm. So then cue a sports showdown to defeat the enemy.
Beautiful.
So... This is...
It's Lord Newth, and it's Tom Hiddleston.
That's right, Lord Newth. There we go. So, yeah, it's not Aardman's best, but it's very wholesome, and the animation is incredible, as always. I love Aardman, so there you go.
You've got to love Aardman.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's going to do it for the one better thing. Right.
The one better thing.
Very quickly, how can people find out about Quest Fantastic now?
Paul Goodman, help me. Where are we on the things?
You may select a champion to fight for you.
Fight for me, sir.
I'll do it.
Oh, she's picked Austin Butler. Oh, no.
What do we do?
That's right. Paul's dead now. Do you find us in all the social medias, Twitter and Facebook and the like, at Quest Fantastic.
Yeah.
And we're called Quest Fantastic, so if you look for that.
We're awesome, yeah.
Yeah, you should do it. We're great.
Bobby it's the three of
us. We're playing Orbital Blues. Look at us go.
Yeah, sci-fi, space.
Thanks, Nell. Goods, how can people find out about OGT?
Oh my God, all the things I said just then, but just switching out Quest Fantastic for OGT Pod. We're doing Orbital Blues now, it's very good.
Yay.
We are every week. I'm Porbital Blues.
I'm Porbital Blobs.
I'm Nell de Blurb.
Nell de Blur. And if you want to hear more of Nell de Blur, get on the Patreon. But before you do that, remember the one good thing about Encino Man is staggeringly Paulie Shore.